Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. Last week was archived. This week we go live. Talking Geek with Tyler Brook podcast, live from Pearl River, New York. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing this in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. It goes by quick. Catch the archive version with all your friends. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. Laying the red carpet down, putting the podium in its place, handing it off to Mike the Threes. Tyler, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And you're bringing a fellow New Yorker in here today, my friend.
That's right. New York is raining strong today in this podcast episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of Talk Geek with Tyler. As always, I am your host, Tyler. We've got a fellow New Yorker, as previously mentioned. Zorik, how the hell are we doing, bud?
Doing well. We don't have time for me to answer that question. But with regards to being on the show, I'm feeling great.
All right, that's awesome. Now, you know, all of y'all that caught my show, you can catch me on Facebook and Instagram. But how do we get a hold of you, Zorik?
Well, my name is spelled Z-O-R-I-K-H, and I'm the only person who uses the name spelled that way on social media in English. So
the only person
you
that you know spells it that way in English.
I've searched all over, and anywhere else you can find that name spelled that way, it's not in English. So if it's in English, that's me. I'm on Facebook. I am on Instagram. Don't use it much. I haven't done the TikTok thing yet. MySpace, that still exists, right? Never did Friendster. YouTube. I got the YouTube channel. I'm frequently referred to as Captain Zorik on many of these social media platforms and stuff. I'm just going to say Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. For now, and I'm sure I'll think, Blogspot, big time on the Blogspot, and other things may pop up to come by. And, of course, I have my own website, CaptainZorik.com.
Well, Captain, let's engage this episode. Our topic today is how to judge cosplay.
Uh-huh.
So, Zorik, how long have you been in the cosplaying judging business?
I've been in the business of hosting costume contests since Michael Carbonaro of the Big Apple Comic Con. I was at one of his conventions, and I said to him, "Hey, Mike, who's hosting the costume contest?" And he looked at me, and he said, "You are." And so I looked around, and I saw somebody in a costume, and I said, "Hey, you're going to be in the costume contest, right? Hey, you know about the costume contest, right?" "No, I don't." "Well, you're going to be in it, right?" And I got three people show up, and that was the first one, and that was in 2003. And so I've seen costumes judged in many different ways and been seated on the judging panel a few times as well.
Very lovely. And speaking of the Big Apple, I would like to throw a big salute to the Phantom of the Opera. He gave us 35 years of wonderful performance, and for that we'll miss you. Hopefully it'll be like a McRib situation where you come back every few years, but I doubt it.
And they were responsible for many inspired cosplays.
Perhaps.
What's that?
But you say costume. Do you mean costume or do you mean cosplay? And if you mean one or the other, is there really a difference between the two?
Mostly it's in context, because you can say a person is in costume and you're just talking about the clothes that they are wearing. However, cosplay more defines, when you say cosplay, you are more defining an act. It's more of a verb, and it's more like you are being or becoming the character in which you are costumed as. And the degree to which people are doing that varies, of course, according to the individual. But yes, there is a difference between just wearing a costume and being in cosplay. Wearing a costume is like the big umbrella. Being in cosplay is how and why you wear a is one way, one how and why that people wear costumes.
Okay, so let's break this down and make this a little more simpler. I'm going to give you two examples of people, and you're going to tell me which one's a costume and which one's a cosplay. person who's going to be on a theater show, like your local theater, and they're going to be, I don't know, like, say, Hamlet, in a production of Hamlet, and you got somebody dressed up as Captain Kirk from Star Trek, which one's the costume and which one's the cosplay?
Well, you haven't told me why the person's dressed up as Star Trek, but obviously an actor on stage is wearing a costume, whereas a person at a comic convention is more likely to be in some degree of cosplay.
All right, well, there we have it, folks. But riddle me this. You say you judge cosplay. I've had many people will tell me that there's no rules to cosplay, but yet you feel you can judge them anyway. Is this correct?
Well, now, that's the funny thing. This is this being a discussion about how to judge cosplay, we have already established that there is at least one way to do so. But I posit that there is not just one way to do so. I posit that there are many ways to do so, and it's all about what you want to get out of it, what you want the contest you're judging to display a value of. All right?
I'm going to put the pause on that train for a second. We got Sal from Germantown, Pennsylvania. What is cosplay? Mm-hmm. I hear it a lot. Love your show. In short, cosplay is essentially, Pennsylvania, I am certain, has its fair share of conventions. You see people dressed up as, say, Batman or any of the myriad of other characters at a major convention center in Pennsylvania, then that would be, in short, a cosplay. But in my experience, what really separates the costume from the cosplay is attention to detail. Like, you can go to your Halloween store, and it would be a Spider-Man costume. But you would never say a Spider-Man cosplay. And isn't that interesting?
Well, I'd fine-tune and nitpick your definition a little bit, because people putting on plays and movies can be all in all kinds of – and don't forget historical reenactment as well – can be very picky about the detail in the costumes that they're wearing, to the degree that they're not wearing costumes, they're wearing clothes. So are Civil War reenactors in cosplay?
Actor.
Well,
it's just a role to them.
Wait. Oh, hold on. Don't. I did not say actor in this particular point. I said reenactor is the person who says, I am playing Sergeant O'Leary from the 5th Highland Grenadiers at the Battle of Breed's Hill, and I know that he marched up the hill and he died, and he was able to get off two shots, and he died right here, and I wanted to make sure that the uniform that I'm wearing perfectly matches the uniform that Sergeant O'Leary wore. Is that cosplay? Because he's not. Is he an actor, or is he a reenactor?
Well, he can't say reenact without act.
Right. So, are you saying because somebody used that word as a suffix, that it's not cosplay too?
I mean, the whole purpose in which to attend that such is to re-show what has happened. Whereas I feel like cosplaying is just to demonstrate your fandom for whatever respective franchise you're following, whether it be Marvel, DC, and for the record, folks, yes, it's DC, not DC Comics, because the D in DC stands for Detective Comics. That's literally like asking for a cheeseburger with cheese. Gary from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, New York, talking over the airwaves. Here comes Philly. Keep up the great work. Wearing a Hawkeye Marvel t-shirt right now. Jerry from Mesa, Arizona. Are you guys big Star Wars fans or DC comic? Jerry, we just went over that. You don't say DC comic, you just say DC. Or if you want to say the comic, you say Detective Comics. But honestly, I'm more of a Trek fan. I feel like Star Wars is just family drama that should have ended in the 80s. That said, Mark Hamill does phenomenal work, and he's a better Joker than he is a Luke Skywalker. I hope that answered your question. But, Zork, I personally believe that actors don't really do a cosplay. I mean, sure,
even
if Jack Black went to a Comic-Con as a character he portrayed, then I would believe that's a cosplay.
Okay, now,
do you
wait
agree
for
with
it.
This?
Now, what if it's not reenactment, but rather recreation? What about groups like the Society for Creative Anachronism, where you're not actually becoming a person who actually existed, but rather taking on the persona of someone who might have existed in the Middle Ages, because I just love the Middle Ages and I want to know what it was like to be a Viking. So therefore, I researched the clothes that Vikings wore and I learned how to make it myself. And I'm going to an event where everybody's going to be a medieval person wearing medieval clothes because we love the Middle Ages so much.
We have
that.
They're called Renaissance fairs.
Nah, that's not exactly the same. That's what I described compared to a Renaissance fair is the UFC compared to pro wrestling.
Okay.
See, pro wrestling, they put on a show to make money and have fans who watch. At a Renaissance fair, they put on a show to make money and you have fans to watch. Imagine it's not a show. Imagine the fighting is competitive and not staged.
What about the people that pay in dressed up as bar wenches and kings and knights and all these other myriads of Renaissance folk?
Renaissance or medieval or dark ages, what have you. We're being generic about this, and I'm describing a specific organization, but we can be generic. Yes, every single person there is in some form of garb. And in fact, they don't even call it costumes. They call it garb because it's clothes to them. We're not making costumes that are worn to present something. We're wearing clothes to become something, which is sort of what the cosplayer is doing when they put on the quote unquote costume of a superhero, right?
You're not wrong. We actually got another message. Gail from Clearwater,
okay.
Florida. Too many over and over movies that pertain to these original Rocky 1-5. Nothing is as ever good as the first. Do you agree? Yeah, reboots do kind of get old after a while, for the most part. I mean, the third Lord of the Rings movie was the best out of the entire film series, so I'm sure that stands out. But by and large,
Empire Strikes Back was better than Star Wars. Fight me.
Yes, thank you for agreeing. Wait, Next Gen or original series?
What?
All right, then.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, sorry. I thought you were criticizing the fact that I jumped you, that I jumped your line, so I decided to wait until you were done. My apologies. Let's see. Original series over Next Gen, but Picard over Kirk.
Uh-huh, you stole that from The Big Bang, didn't you?
I only steal from the best.
Fair enough. And speaking of Star Trek actors, hashtag keep bitching gargoyles, y'all. But you judge cosplays, right?
Yes.
Let me ask you something. Is this one of those who cannot do teach moments, or have you actually cosplayed?
Well, if you want to consider, I consider yes. Yes, I have. Yes, I have done the research. Yes, I have put on the I have made the costume. Yes, I have put on the costume. Yes, I have gone to events in which other people were in costume, so we could not just wear the clothes, but be the characters that we wanted to be. So yes, I have.
All right. Well, that is very good to hear. I'm glad it's not one of those moments where those who can't do teach. I've always found that hypocritical. Honestly, it's like you're telling me what I should be doing, even though you can't do it yourself. It's a little weird, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. A person may have a particular skill, and that particular skill may be part of a greater task. And so a person may want to do a greater task, but not have a particular skill, so they would go to the expert on that particular skill, and once they learn that skill, then they can go on and do the greater task. So just because, for instance, in sword fighting, I haven't won quite as many sword fights as other people, I may be better at teaching you. I may be better at teaching you how to swing a sword. Okay, go on.
And I may be better manager at cutting you off and asking this trivia question. Where does the term cosplay come from? Where does the term cosplay come from?
I don't have
now
the answer
to that.
Now
that in mind, yeah, you're going to the cosplay fighting, the cosplay sword fighting, was it?
Cosplay sword fighting, love it. As you said, not quite wrong, but just giving you an example of just because I don't win as many fights as some people doesn't mean I can't teach you how to swing a sword.
No, you're not wrong on that, but I think it's kind of like a whole, what was the Monsters, Inc. prequel, Monsters University, where
mm-hmm.
Mike Wazowski knew how to do the stuff, but he couldn't execute it himself?
Mm-hmm.
But let's
right.
call spade a spade on this, people. By and large, there are no rules for cosplaying, just as long as you appreciate the fandom of it. But that said, people will judge you. Like, you can't just put on a wrestler mask and call yourself Bane. Like, yeah, okay, you can call yourself Bane, but no one's going to believe you. And you will be critiqued on this in many ways. Would
That's
you agree
right.
on this, sir?
Yeah, there are many ways that you can judge cosplay. You could judge it. You obviously the skill in the construction of the costume has to be a concern when you're going to give away a prize and call something the best cosplay. Now there's some debate in the cosplay community about whether you should about whether you can. Award someone best cosplay when they didn't make their own costume. And so, of course, there are different contests, one for people who made their own costume and one for people who are just wearing the costume. But then, of course, there is how well do you wear it? How well do you inhabit the character that's wearing the costume? A lot of people like to hold that in a very high esteem and ranking when deciding who's going to get the prize. So if someone can both make their own costume and inhabit the character with a great degree of skill and pretend I said a really intelligent sounding word that made it sound that means really believe that they are the character of the costume that they're wearing, then that ought to win a prize.
So basically, if I decide to show up as Bane at New York Comic Con, find some guy as Batman and break his back, I'm just getting into the role of Bane?
Well, obviously, of course, we should all do things that are safe in the real world. Having said that, if you can express the character of Bane to the degree that I believe that you believe you are Bane within the structure of, you know, you're on stage, it's a cosplay contest. You got out there and you did Bane so hard that I believe it, even though you just put crayon on a paper bag and put that paper bag over your head. Yeah, I'm going to give you points for that. Now, of course, I can't
well,
give you any points
details?
For...
Yeah. Like, let me ask you, Zark, how far are you in One Piece?
How far what?
Are you in One Piece?
Now, what, do I have any onesies?
How far are you in the One Piece series?
One Piece theory?
Okay, so you're not far at all. So that just answers the question.
You mean the series, One Piece.
Well, the horse
crosses
the finish line. But yes, that's what I'm referring to.
Okay, no, I haven't watched that show at all.
Okay, so, but are you an anime fan at all?
In what?
Are you an anime fan at all?
Oh, yeah. I enjoy the work that is done. I've seen a few really good movies. I've seen a couple that weren't so good, and I've watched a couple of TV shows. But I'm not terribly well versed in it like many of the anime fans are.
Well, how would you feel about, say, props that go into the costume? Like, I've gone as Queen from One Piece. Every time he gets surprised, his eyes literally pop out of his glasses. Would you consider like those points to consider?
Oh yeah, if you can make gimmicks in your costume to recreate the effects in the show or the comic book or whatever, then that's a plus. Look, he or she or whatever built gimmicks into their costume to greater express the character than to share the experience of what it's like to watch that character. Yeah, totally.
All right, well said. As let me ask you, which characters do you find to be the most difficult to portray, whether in terms of actually enacting them or getting the costumes thereof?
Lots of characters that exist in printed and drawn media, like anime and comic books, are difficult to make costumes for because the people drawing them sometimes don't know how physics work. And so you got to make these costumes that people can't possibly move in. So those are generally the most difficult to build, the most difficult kinds of costumes to build. That's usually the toughest thing is like, robots and so forth. But, like Transformers, can you really build something that transforms from, a car into a standing person and make it convincing? Some people can, but it's those technical difficulties.
Yeah, I've always found that name very misleading. I've always found, Cybertronians to be, just living Rubik's Cubes. They're just reshaped to look like something else.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I agree with you. That would be one of the more difficult cosplays to portray.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's doable, but you got to be, expert level cosplayer.
Yeah, yeah. Or I've seen some remarkable things done with cardboard boxes, that to make them fit together and work together to make the cosplay happen. I once had to do the Green Knight from Gawain and the Green Knight, who, by the way, did not wear armor, just in case anybody's thinking of doing that. But I figured out how to make a false torso out of a refrigerator box. And stuck a broomstick up the back of it, and stuck a wig head on top of it, and put a wig and a beard on it, painted it all green, and so when Gawain was supposed to chop my head off, the trick was that there were candies inside the head, and so he chopped into the head and then pulled out the candies and threw it to everybody. But yeah, the trick. When you can do something next level that structurally building things to make you not look like the physical you that you are, there was that character, the villain from Marvel Comics, who was a villain of Longshot, this big yellow blobby guy inside this machine. There's a guy running around comic conventions right now doing that character. Forgot his name, but that's a pretty awesome work.
Hello.
Yeah.
His name is Mojo. How do you not know him?
There you go. Because I stopped reading X-Men comics after the third Jean Grey showed up.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track. And for those of you that don't know, that's a sneak preview of the X-Men series. Both Zork and I are, working on. I don't want to give too much detail away, but yes, on top of some other characters, I will be providing the voice of Mojo. But yeah, it's definitely one of the more unrealistic cosplay portrayals. I would say Ghidorah would definitely be one of those ones. I mean, it's doable, but you got to know a guy or a girl or whichever.
But do you want to know what's another thing about cosplay, particularly about cosplay contests, that I find particularly important and important to recognize?
What's that?
Entertaining the audience. You've got an audience of people out there, sometimes hundreds of people, who are there to see cosplay at its top level. And you know what happens at a lot of cosplay contests where they have judges is that the contestants will come up, they'll do their little runway walk, and then the cosplay judges will ask them questions that they'll have to answer. Can you come a little closer here? Let me see. Did you do this yourself? Oh, you did. Was that hand stitching or how many? What's the thread count on this? And meanwhile, the audience, you know, loses track of what's going on and fall into a confused slumber. And then the worst part is, and we'll be back in just 15 to 27 minutes when the judges have decided upon their winners. So what do you do then? You got to throw an act on stage, or they just wander off and they do or don't come back, and it just drags and drags and drags. So I found the solution for that. You know what that solution is?
Humor me.
The audience applause-o-meter, patented by Captain Zorik. What I do is, what I originally did back when the Big Apple Conventions cosplay contest, costume, whatever you want to call it, I'm not picky about what you call it. We're only about 10, 20. If we had 30 people, it was a lot. Is I'd have everybody come on, do a thing, and get off. And then at the end of it, I'd have them come back on, and then I'd rate the audience applause, and then I'd put them against the wall in the order of the audience applause, the best highest applause on the left, the lowest applause on the right. And then everybody could, and then I could say, hey guys, did I get this right here? And then we can have runoffs, or we can give up. And then we know who won because he's the guy standing on the left. And if it's really close, we can have a runoff right there. But after New York Winter Con came in, the first New York Winter Con that happened a few years back, New York Winter Con actually went out and found cosplay professionals, which drew the big hardcore cosplay crowd, which was not the crowd that was coming to Big Apple Convention. It was people who liked to wear costumes, but not people in the scene. So the next thing you knew, we had 75 cosplayers lined up for the contest, so I couldn't do that. So I made it even simpler. Get on stage. You do your thing, present yourself, recite poetry, I don't know, I don't care, sing, dance, whatever. And before you get off, we do the applause-o-meter right there. And I take your card, it's got your name on it, and I put it on the table. And that way, when the last person's got off, all the winners are right there from left to right. And I can just go to the end and say, here's your first place winner, everybody. And then, because I really, really, really hate to see people go away disappointed, I didn't limit the prizes to first, second, and third. I just got a whole bunch of stuff. I got sponsors, and I just put them on a table. And you ever win a prize, but it wasn't the prize you wanted?
That would be pretty much everybody in the history of ever.
Well, you know what I do? I say, which prize do you want? And so that way, nobody goes away disappointed, or at least a lot of people are far less disappointed than they would have been otherwise. And so that's how I, number one, keep the show going. Don't have those boring lags in the middle there. And on top of that, none of the audience can say the voting was rigged because it was their applause that picked the winner.
Unless somebody planted them there, you mean?
Well, okay. Now, people will also say that a lot of times a cosplayer's performance can overcome shortcomings in their costume. And that's true. That is valid. And some cosplayers should be awarded and recognized for the hard work that they did on their costume. And so, yes,
that's a very good point and a very excellent point to leave off on. For those of you that didn't get the trivia question, one more time. Where does the term cosplay come from? Cosplay is the combination of the English words costume and play, cosplay. The Japanese term actually comes from cosplay, which translates into cosplay.
I was really hoping for a who was the first person to say it kind of answer.
Well, it's been around for a while, but it actually made its first term in 1984. So, Zorik, thank you one more time. Found on Facebook and Instagram, correct?
And YouTube, very much the YouTube. In fact, you can see my costume contests, cosplay contests on the Captain Zorik YouTube channel. And you can actually look up Captain Zorik's costume contest on Facebook, where you can find out where I'm next hosting such a contest.
Terrific, terrific. Stay tuned for more wonderful content next week. If you like this episode, like, subscribe, follow me, check all my pages, and if you're feeling extra generous, don't forget to support me on Patreon. But no matter what you decide to do, remember that one thing, stay geeky.
Love it. And watch out for our X-Men radio.